God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to worship you. We're so glad that we have space like this to gather and to sing. And we're so glad that worship is not dependent on tech, that the screens don't matter. What it's all about is our heart and you. And so this morning, we just offer our hearts to you. We just want to worship you in what we sing and what we say and what we do and how we listen and apply your word to our lives. We pray that you would help us with that. We thank you so much for your love, and we'd be nothing without it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome 9:30, welcome to our Tremont campus. And by the way, Tremont, we have tech issues too sometimes. You guys could probably just kill those screens. We don't need them for the rest of the service, even for the rest of the songs. We could be all right without them. And we're just thankful that you are here, and we're glad to be jumping into the next message in our People Problems series. Do you have people problems? No? All right. You can pack up and go home. Work on your grocery list. Do something productive. I don't know about you, but I got people problems. Don't become one of them, 9:30. You can never be one of them. You guys show up on time, unlike our 11 o'clock service. Who will discover at like 11:20 that there is no service here? Because they haven't been paying attention either. And we're so glad we're jumping into this message called People Problems, and I want to just read this passage. This is a two-parter, and it is so, so important. Today, we're talking about boundaries. Maybe you have no idea what they are. Maybe you're well aware of boundaries. Maybe you have people blow past your boundaries all the time, but boundaries are an important part of God's design for relationships. And so important that as I was thinking about this message, actually just this morning, real early as the sun was coming up, I was like, you know what? This is too important. Too many people are going to miss this if we just do it once. So next week is part two. It's a different sermon, but the same topic. It'll be a different character of the Bible we're going to look at and different takeaways. So it's not like we're preaching the same sermon twice, but we're spending 2 weeks on the topic of boundaries and how they affect our relationships. I want to start by reading a passage that might surprise you in relation to this topic. It's found in Exodus chapter 19, and I'm going to read just a little bit of context, and then we'll end kind of with the main verse. It says this: on the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain, Mount Sinai. If you have ever gone to Sunday school, you probably have heard of Mount Sinai and had a flannel graph or something showing you like the Ten Commandments and God meeting Moses up there. That's where that whole scene went down. It says this, it says, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I have done to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings, go birds, and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. Pretty good combo so far, right? Start of a pretty good relationship. Before the rules were laid down in stone, God's reminding these people how much they are loved by him, how important they are to him, how he has a purpose for them. And before you hear any more of this message, you need to hear that. That God loves you. He has a purpose for you. Oh, I know you got some baggage and some junk. I know you've made some big mistakes. I know your assessment of your world is that it is a cluster of a train wreck right now. I know all that. He loves you anyway. He has a purpose for you, a call on your life. You are important and valuable to him. It's important that you get that first. He goes on and he says, after they report and they're like, yeah, great, we're all in. The Lord said to him, to Moses, verse 9, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Like something big is going down with God and his people. He's revealing himself to them. He says, have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Now here's verse 12. This is an important verse right here. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. Boundaries. Boundaries and how important they are and what God says about them in our relationships. Here's what boundaries are. Boundaries are a chosen set of what's okay for you in your relationships and as it pertains to your personal space. What's okay and what's not okay when it comes to my personal self and my relationships? You have that list. You have that. You may not have ever clarified or spoken that list. You may never have established that list, but somewhere in your heart, you have a sense, if not a list, of what is okay and what's not okay in relationship with me. And here's the big problem with boundaries is though you have that list, because you have not gotten clear on it, it has not been defined, the barriers have not been set in place, people keep running past your list. You have this list, and a large part, I know I'm being a little like, I don't know, bold about this, I just have a sense of how important it is, but because people run past these things and you haven't established your boundaries, a large part of your anxiety, of your anger, of your relational stress, of your people problems revolve around this idea of healthy boundaries. People blow past them all the time. I'm not good at this either, so I have a list of what's okay and what's not okay. I know. Like, don't try to manipulate me. That's not okay. Don't try to get all up in my personal business if you haven't earned the right or the trust that I have. I know that's not okay. Like, I have a list of things that aren't okay, and they run around in my heart, and people constantly run past them because I haven't been clear or I haven't defined them. I haven't effectively communicated my boundaries. And so what swells in my heart is anxiety, anger, guilt, pressure. I feel like I'm letting people down. I feel like I can't live up to others' expectations. Sometimes I feel manipulated. Sometimes I feel like I'm less than others just because I'm getting trampled on. Sometimes I feel trapped. Sometimes I feel inferior, all because I have not established what the biblical ideal is of having boundaries in my personal life and in my relationships. What ultimately boundary breakers do? Do you have some boundary breakers in your life? Yeah, no, just me. You have some boundary breakers in your life? Besides the anxiety and the pain and the stress and the guilt that it adds to your life, they try to add to your life. What essentially boundary breakers are doing is they're eroding your sense of security and your identity. And that's a real big deal. You see, you really can't grow personally or spiritually if you don't have a sense of security
and safety, and if you don't know who you truly are.
I've heard people say, I don't know how I let this happen in my relationship. You know, awful, nasty stuff. I can't believe I let this go on for so long. Why do I allow myself to be treated like this? You know what the answer to those kind of hard questions is? It's because over time, you have allowed, maybe not always, but in a lot of those cases, you have allowed boundary breakers to push past your boundaries and erode your sense of self. And with that, I hear the alarm. I guess the service is over. You're all right, Mama. We love you. Mama's allowed. If you don't know Mama, you should get to know her. It's okay. Boundary breakers. You want to know some boundary breakers? Here's some boundary breakers. If any of these names are you, please know that I was just trying to make them rhyme, and then at the end, I gave up. So I was like, I'm done trying to rhyme these names. So if your name happens to be attached to one of these adjectives I'm about to say, please know that I'm not referring to any, I did not have anybody in church in mind, right? Here's a list of the types of boundary breakers. You have subtle Sally. Do you have a subtle Sally in your life? Subtle Sallys are masters at sneaking. Little, you almost don't see it coming, right? Like, you end the conversation and you're kind of smiling and then you walk away from that conversation. Like, wait a minute. What just happened? What did I just sign up for? Subtle Sallys are the reason why when anyone asks me, can you do me a favor, I say, that depends. It's because Subtle Sally has gotten me a ton of times. Can you help me out? Absolutely, I can help you out. Drive me to Arizona? Could you give up your entire weekend to babysit my cat? Subtle Sallys are masters at sneaking it in there. Don't write names down that correlate with these in your bulletin. You never know where those things are going to land, right? Subtle Sallys. Do you have a subtle Sally in your life who, like, just subtly, sneakily, they try to sneak stuff into conversations, just a little bit of pressure here, a little bit of expectations here, a little bit of guilt here. They just drizzle it on, like, toppings on this sick, disgusting Sunday that they're cooking up for you that's going to leave you feeling like you are not valued, like you are less than, like you just were taken advantage of. Subtle Sally. How about guilt trip Gary? You got a guilt trip Gary? Oh, this is guilt trip Gary. Oh, what do you mean you're not going to come to my picnic? Oh, you have important stuff you got to do? Oh, why couldn't you stay after church 45 minutes and talk to me? Because I'm hungry. Guilt trip Gary? If I stay, it's going to be bad for you and bad for me. You don't want no advice about life while I'm hangry. Amen. You got a guilt trip Gary in your life? They're always got a guilt trip for you. It's not always a mother-in-law. That's why I named it Gary. But sometimes it is a mother-in-law. How about this? Bulldozer's Billy. Maybe you have a boss that's a Bulldozer Billy, right? Like, Bulldozer Billy has no respect for your time, no respect for your agenda, no care for what you really want out of life. They have a plan, and that's what's going to happen. And you're coming along for the ride. Parents, you can't put kids, you can't put your parents in bulldoze. That's parenting. You got to separate parenting from, okay, right? Like, they're supposed to tell you what to do and where to go and how to eat your food. That's what we do. And you get it wrong, and then you embarrass us at the Arby's, right? Like, so you have a bulldozer, Billy, somebody that just keeps pushing past what you say. You have tried to communicate to bulldozer Billy that it's not okay. They just aren't listening to you. You've tried to share your opinion with Bulldoze Billy. He's not listening to you. Bulldoze Billy has one agenda, and that's to do what they want to do. You have people that work for you that are Bulldozer Billies. You have people that you work for that are Bulldozer Billies. You might have people you live with. Hopefully not, but that are Bulldozer Billies. Bulldozer Billy is a bully. Bulldozer Billy is a sneaky, sneaky bully. Because they don't just come right out and say, I'm going to trample you, but they end up trampling you anyway. Bulldozer Billy. Manipulative Mary. You got any manipulative Marys in your life? They always have an angle, and they'll try accomplishing their angle a thousand different ways. You got all these people in your life, don't you? That's the end of the sermon. So now we really can all leave. You got a manipulative Mary in your life? They just twist everything. You say something, they twist it. They just twist stuff to get their own way, to do their own thing. They just tell you what you want to hear and then do something different. They make you assume that you're okay and everything's right and going the way you want it to go, but then they do something different. You have a manipulative Mary in your life? How about this one, the last one? There's tons of these. I could keep going for days. But how about a gossipy Gertrude? You didn't know. This is when I gave up rhyming. I was like, 9:30's not paying attention anyway, and there's no 11. I don't need to rhyme it. Do you have a gossipy Gertrude? Ooh, you gossipy people didn't think you'd land on this list. But gossip is a way to break boundaries, really important ones. Boundaries of trust, friendship. Gossipy Gertrude takes your story that you shared with them in trust and breaks the boundary by sharing it with somebody else and then sharing it with somebody else, and then it spins all around till it's some ridiculous story. I can't tell you how many rumors I have heard about myself. Oh, don't laugh quite yet. From this place. It's a little check, right? It's a way to break a boundary of trust. I'm not going to share with you. If you're going to share stuff with other people, you can't break that boundary. It's not okay. Gossip breaks a boundary by taking a story that is not theirs, that was trusted to them, and spreading it to people that did not earn that story, have not earned the right to know that information. They can't be trusted with your name, and it destroys a lot of people. Do you have a person like Subtle Sally or Guilt Trip Gary or Bulldozer Billy or Gossipy Gertrude or Manipulative Mary in your life? If you do, you got people problems. But more than that, if you do, you don't just have people problems, you got boundary problems. Boundaries are important. Yet even with this clown crew that we have in our lives, this clown crew of people that are boundary breakers in our lives, even with those people, we know they're there. You have them. You thought of names. Even though we know they're there, we still feel guilty about setting and establishing boundaries. Come on, you don't? You still stay up at night worried about what Subtle Sally thinks of you. You worry about what Gossipy Gertrude, is that the name I used? I don't remember, is going to say about you. You worry about what Manipulative Mary's, what she's going to say about you. You worry about this clown crew of boundary breakers, and because we're so worried about, because we feel guilty, because we don't want to face rejection, because we fear what people are going to say, we don't ever take the list of it's okay and it's not okay, and we don't ever say it out loud. We don't ever get real clear on it. We don't ever write it down. We don't ever establish the boundaries. And do you know what? Most, not all, because there are jerks in the world, but most people, including the Sallys, the Garys, the whatever, Gertrudes of our lives, most people would understand and respect, not all, but most,
the boundaries of it's okay and it's not okay, if we got clear on them, if we communicated them well, and if we protected them. Listen, boundaries are an important part of your life, and though we feel guilty establishing them, though we don't know how to lay it out there, we fear the loss of relationships, even though those relationships aren't very healthy to begin with, because of that, we don't ever establish our boundaries. But God established boundaries as part of his design for our lives. God sent as a beautiful gift boundaries. The tree was a boundary in the garden. We all broke that one. And here at this Mount Sinai, he's establishing this incredible boundary as he says, for their good, for the good of the relationship between God and his people, because he does love them, as we read at the beginning, because he does have a purpose for them and a plan for them, he sent and established boundaries and said to Moses, you set the barriers at the mountain. Communicate well that no one should cross them. Here are the consequences if they cross the boundary. It's no surprise here. I'm not leaving anything like, God's not like, whoa, woohoo, surprise, you're getting punished today. You didn't know I had this smite you in my pocket. Here's a smite you for you. There's no surprises. God's like, here's the boundary. Here's what happens if you cross it. You hear in his, like, don't cross it, please. For your sake, for our sake, for all of everything's sake. Here's the boundary. You see, boundaries are God established. They're God gifted to us. They're God's ideal for our relationships. Jesus modeled them for us while he was on earth. It says in Luke chapter 5 and 15 and 16 that he would go around and heal, and large crowds followed him. And verse 16 of that, some of you need to write down, memorize it, scratch it on your mirror like a crazy person with lipstick, tattoo it on your thigh. Don't do that one. That's a terrible idea. But it says that Jesus often left the crowd to be alone. Boundaries. When he left the crowd, you know what he was saying? I'm not healing everybody today. There were people in those crowds desperate for help whose stories of healing are not recorded in the Bible because Jesus modeled healthy personal and relational boundaries. And when he needed to, he said, that's it. I'm not staying for 45 minutes after church to talk to you. I'm going to the mountains by myself. Don't call, don't email, don't bother me. Sounds awesome. Boundaries are God sent, and here's what I love about this. Boundaries are something that he enabled and entrusted Moses to establish. Hey, Moses. Hey, Frankie. Hey, Sue. Hey, Sally. Hey, you. There needs to be a boundary here at the base of the mountain. You take the barrier and you decide where the mountain starts. And God honors where Moses put the boundary. How incredible is that? Like, God didn't say, this is big consequences, right? Like, you step past the boundary, you die. You would think God would be like, here it is. Here's the coordinates for your Google Maps. Punch this in, don't cross it. Moses, make sure the barrier, what barrier did he use? I don't know why I keep seeing sawhorses in my mind. Like, you place the sawhorse right here, not an inch further, not an inch to the left, not an inch to the right, because people are gonna die. You know, you like step over and you're like, oh man, I stayed behind the barrier, but the barrier was 6 inches off. God respected and honored the place where Moses put the barrier. Some of you want your relationships honored. Put some boundaries on them. Some of you are searching desperately for new health. Maybe you need some boundaries. What if God would honor the boundaries you set up for your own protection and safety and for the health of your relationships this week? What if His honor is what you need most in your relationships? I'm so glad Jesus modeled it, and I'm so glad God sent it. And though I'm not always good at laying out the boundaries that I have, I am beginning to understand the older I get. Though I still have this tension, you may still have this tension of not wanting to disappoint people. You may still have this tension of caring about too much about what they think. You may still have this tension about worrying about what they're going to say about you. Even though that tension still lives in my heart, I am getting better at this because I know that boundaries are God-sent, God-established, and God's design for ideal relationships and personal health. If it's that important to God, I think you'll be okay if you start to establish some boundaries, even if it may cost you a relationship or two. And are those kind of relationships really worth saving? Boundaries are important. People get mad when you set them. People get mad at my boundaries all the time. Not everybody has my cell phone number. Not everybody says jump and I jump. I have boundaries. People get mad when you establish them, but I'll tell you what, it's worth it if you want to make it. If you want your relationship to find new health, it's so important. There's some other examples. We're going to hit another really great biblical example of boundaries because I feel like we need to all be convinced of this a little bit stronger than just one Sunday morning where we go home and we forget all about it. So we're going to talk about another incredible biblical example of boundaries next week. But before that, I want to give you 6 ways to be better at boundaries. I'll have some practical stuff next week. This is going to be a lot in 2 weeks. I hope you're taking some notes. But here's 6 ways to get better at boundaries in 6 minutes. Are you ready? On your mark, get set. You don't look ready. I'm not convinced that you're ready. 6 ways to be better. Establish healthy boundaries. Healthy boundaries, now this is important, are not rigid boundaries and they're not porous boundaries. Some of you are suffering because you have established boundaries, but maybe they're too rigid. And some of you are suffering because your boundaries are too porous. You know, if you have rigid boundaries, some of the symptoms of that are you avoid intimacy and close relationships because you're afraid of someone hurting you or stepping past. Like, there's vulnerability is important too. You don't ask for help because you feel like you need to do it all alone. You have very few close relationships if your boundaries are too rigid. You are super protective, like over in a sick kind of defensive, jealous way. You are overprotective of the very few close relationships you have because you have rigid boundaries. You keep others at a distance to avoid rejection. If your boundaries are porous, this might be you. You overshare and you overinvest in relationships where you should not be trusting the other person because they have not earned your trust yet. If you're suffering from porous relationships, you accept disrespect or abuse from people. And by the way, that's a boundary everybody should have all the time. There is no disrespect or abuse in healthy relationships. If there's disrespect and abuse in healthy relationship, in your relationship, it is not healthy and it's probably not safe and you need to get out. Or figure it out. Get some help. Don't misinterpret what I said. I'm not saying just go divorce everybody. But caution should be had if your relationship is one where you have found yourself accepting abuse. If you have porous boundaries, you live in fear of rejection and abandonment. So you comply with people and things that you know you don't want to comply with or shouldn't comply with. If you have a porous relationship, you end up feeling really dependent and also like a doormat at the same time. You are dependent on the people who make you feel like a doormat. Number one, discover healthy boundaries. They are not porous and they are not rigid. Number two, love without rescuing. A lot of moms probably need to hear this one. Not just moms, but I feel like it's so hard. Love without rescuing. That's codependence when you think love always rescues. In Proverbs 19:19, it says, a hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Rescue them, and you will have to do it again. You could fill all different kinds of things into that truth. You know, love requires truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow in every way. It's not, codependence is not love. Love and truth. Love has to have truth as a part of it. So you can love without rescuing all the time. A codependent relationship has eroded boundaries. They're not even in the same room. They're gone. Number three, care enough to confront. Love with truth also equals growth for you and for your relationships. Both things have to be in the recipe for it to work. And so you can care enough to confront. Sometimes if you don't care, you just avoid. If you don't care enough about yourself, you just allow things to happen by not establishing boundaries. If you don't care enough about your relationships, you just kind of let the chips fall where they may and see how it works out. Sometimes if you really care, it means that you have to confront some stuff that isn't healthy. Here's a few quick tips about that, right? Like, be clear, seek resolution, be gentle in what you say and how you say it. You can be firm and gentle at the same time. Be caring. Sometimes when you see something unhealthy, you have to speak up because you care and say, that's not okay. Here's why. Number four, protect your heart. Proverbs 4:23 is a very important verse. It's like, it says, above all else, guard your heart. Some translations say guard there. Others will say protect, depending on what you're reading. Above all things, guard your heart. The heart in that passage comes from a Hebrew word called leb. Leb means not just how you feel, it's also what you think. It's also, it's your soul. It's the whole center of who you are. It's your identity. That's what leb is, your heart, when Scripture talks about it. It's all of you. It's the center of you. And here, Scripture is saying, like, above all else, guard your heart. You got to protect your thoughts. You got to protect your feelings. You got to protect the core of who you are. Guard your emotions. You can't guard and protect your heart if you don't establish boundaries. Number five, boundaries have to be communicated. Here's the three C's of communication. Be clear, be calm, and explain consequences. You don't have to be mean or angry about it. When you're communicating boundaries, be clear, be calm, and explain the consequences. God modeled this. Like, this wasn't angry God yelling down to the people. That's how we read it. We read this passage like God's giving them this mean ultimatum. Big angry God saying, don't step past the line, don't step past the line, or I'm going to smoke you. It's not. That's why I read the first part of this. He just got done telling them, I love you, you're my people, I have a purpose for you. You are so important to me. This is why I've done all this stuff. This is why I've been revealing myself to you. And here's a line you can't cross. Please don't cross it, because I care, because I love you. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. Here's the line, don't cross it. He clear, calm, although I wasn't so calm right there, like, and explain the consequences. And here's the last one for today. Remember, we're going to talk about boundaries tomorrow too. The last one for today is this. Tighten your circle. If you clearly communicate your boundaries, if you're calm about it, if you laid it all out there, here's why this is important. here's what's happening to me and to us if you keep breaking this boundary I've laid out. If you've done that and they still don't respect the boundaries that you have established that God has given to you for your health, then it's time. It's time to tighten your circle. It doesn't mean you can't love them. It doesn't mean you can't call them from time to time. It doesn't mean you shouldn't, you know, like have a healthy view of the value that God has intrinsically given to them. It doesn't mean that you can't appreciate the part of your past they were. It doesn't mean that you don't hold them in high esteem. It just means that if they continue to run over your boundaries, you're not going to allow them the space to keep doing it. I know this is like tough to be continued next week with some more positive, exciting, motivating parts of what it means to really sink into and be able to own your own personal set of boundaries. But I'll just leave you with this. Boundaries are God-given. They're God-sent. They're God-modeled. And it's God's ideal for a healthy you and healthy relationships. Don't go run home and, you know, set off a stick of dynamite in a relationship just because I preached this sermon and you're like, I knew it! Instead, prayerfully consider what healthy boundaries are for you. It's not fair to hold somebody accountable to a boundary that you have not communicated. It's not fair to expect them to understand the consequences of breaking a boundary if you have never communicated the consequences of the boundary. So leave here and pray about the areas of your life you need to establish more boundaries, and pray about and journal and think about how you can clearly communicate those boundaries, how you can lay out in a loving way how these boundaries are good for you and the relationship and what happens when these boundaries are broken. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you have sent us, given us, gifted us this idea of boundaries. I wish I would have understood this way long ago. It's hard, and sometimes I still feel guilty establishing a boundary, and I'm not always good at it, but it's something that you've given us for our good. So I pray that you would just help us to be better at establishing good, God-honoring, healthy boundaries. Help us to see the areas in our life where our boundaries are too rigid or too porous. Help us to have wisdom and discernment in the areas of our relationships we need more and healthier boundaries. Help us to communicate those courageously with love and truth. In Jesus' name, amen.